Let us turn again to the passage of God's word that we read together in the book of Ezekiel chapter 2, and let us read verses 4 and 5. Ezekiel 2 at verse 4. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted, I do send thee unto them. And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear. For they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. So this is Ezekiel. And the Lord is sending him out to speak to his people. And one thing we should notice, though it may not have much bearing on what I hope to say, is that Ezekiel was a prophet among the captive Jews in Babylon. Those that had been carried away by the armies from Chaldea to Babylon, and Ezekiel was commissioned to speak in God's name to the people there. By way of contrast, Jeremiah, who lived about the same time, he was a prophet in Judea. He was left there, he wasn't taken into captivity, though he was forced to accompany a group of Jews who went to Egypt against what Jeremiah said to them, according to what he had been given to say to them by God himself. They too were disobedient and hard-hearted or stiff-hearted, which comes to very much the same thing. Now, I read a part of what is said about the vision that Ezekiel saw of the wheels, and I'm not going to attempt to interpret that to any extent, but it is understood to speak of the providence of God. You see, the picture that is set before us there, it's fairly complicated. And it speaks, for instance, of wheels within wheels, and that is a description we could make of God's providence. Wheels within wheels. There's various threads in God's providence, we might say, but within these there are other threads, wheels within wheels is the way we have it. But what I do want to pick up on is the last verse of chapter 1, where you read, this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face. He falls on his face to worship God. He's taken up with that, taken up with the glory of God, and very much in connection with what we noticed about God's providence, and perhaps it would be better to say God acting in his providence. But anyway, Ezekiel fell down to worship God, overwhelmed by the glory of God, is what one might say. He's overcome by the glory of God. But God said to him, God spoke. He heard a voice of one that spoke. And he said unto me, clearly it is God that is speaking to him, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. God was going to speak further. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, entered into Ezekiel when God spoke to him. And it wasn't just that he was called to stand up. He was lifted up and set on his feet. And he heard him what God said. Now, I didn't take verse 3 as part of my text, but it's all part of Ezekiel's commission to go and speak to the children of Israel. And they are described as a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against God. The rebellion against God is being emphasized. For they are impudent children, or stiff-hearted. They're not responsive to the word of God. If somebody stiffens up when somebody else is trying to move him or her along, then there's resistance. And there was resistance on the part of the people of Israel against God and what he was telling them. And though they were stiff-hearted and resistant, yet God was sending Ezekiel to them. And he was to announce what he was to pass on to them. That's what the Lord was saying to them. And whether they would hear or resist, they were to know that a prophet had been among them. Bearing in mind, as you have it in brackets, that they were a rebellious people, a rebellious house, or a rebellious household. Yet they were to remember that they had heard a message from God. Now, there's no prophets today. That was God announcing himself in the time before the Bible was complete. We have all these messages from God in the Bible. And we are to pay attention to them. And in applying that thought to ourselves, what I want to emphasize is that we have the Word of God. God has sent his word to us. The prophet spoke in the name of God. Ezekiel spoke in the name of God. And not to emphasize particularly just now the thought that preachers are to speak in the name of God, but it's not the message they bring is not something that has been freshly given to them in the days before they come out and preach a particular sermon. They are trying to explain and apply the Word of God. The Word of God is that comes to us in the Bible. And what we are to particularly think of is this. Whether we hear or forbid, whether we hear or whether we hear particularly in the sense of listening, taking it in, or whether we refuse to listen, whether we will not take it in, we are to know that the Word of God has been declared among us. And if we get a conviction of that, we're not going to be careless about what we hear. Even if it was just one sentence out of Scripture that was quoted, we have heard the Word of God. Now you can expect to hear more than that. And in any case, we have read a section of the Word of God. And I trust that what is said will be consistent with the Scriptures. But whatever else we might take away from what we hear today, let us remember this. God, the Word of God, what God has revealed, has been revealed, has been spoken in our hearing. God has spoken. How many times has God spoken to us in that way? Well, I don't expect an answer. I don't expect you to come to an answer, except for this, that you would say, it's a big, big number, especially those who are older. Yes, God has spoken. Well, there are 3 points I want to focus on. The first is Ezekiel's message. Just in broad terms, without going into detail, beyond what is told us in our text, they were to know. See, this is what's emphasized in our text and again in other parts of this chapter. They were rebellious. And we need to consider, are we rebelling against God? Second, what was the Jews' response? And third, they were to recognize that a prophet had been among them. First, Ezekiel's message. Second, the response. Third, what particularly they were to recognize that a prophet had been among them, that they had heard a message from God. First then, the message. And what Ezekiel was and what he was saying, it was in contrast to the vast majority of people who were calling themselves prophets. There's a comment in chapter 13, or a reference, a summing up of what the false prophets were saying. The Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. They were saying, this is what the Lord is saying. And they had no authority. The Lord had not given them a message. And that is its own lesson for people today. There are many that claim to be ministers of the gospel, and yet the Lord has not sent them. They don't give the message of the Word of God. Or else, their message is selective. They don't preach the essentials of the Bible's message, the law and the gospel, the law being the commandments, the gospel, the Lord's message of salvation through Jesus Christ. The great fact that Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's the thing. Why was it so important that they should remember that a prophet had been among them? Because he brought to them a message from the Word of God. And that's the duty of the preacher today, to bring a message from the Word of God. You see what the Savior said, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Not the least, not the smallest mark. A jot or a tittle. The tittle is a small mark on a Hebrew letter. A jot is the small letter, a Y or a, yes, let's just stick with a Y. But it's a very small letter. And what the Savior was saying was, no smallest part of the Word of God will become irrelevant until all is fulfilled. Until the world will end in particular. Though there's parts of the law of the ceremonies in the Old Testament, but they have been fulfilled in Christ. Not that they've become irrelevant, because we can learn a lot from what is said about the sacrifices. It's the permanent relevance of the whole of Scripture. We're to take that away with us. Some parts may be more difficult, some parts easier. But God is speaking to them in the whole of the Bible. Yes, and we read at verse 7 that he was to speak God's words to the people. No, it's not verse 7, but that's what he was in. That's what he was to speak. He was to bring them whatever God was saying. Yes. Now, see the importance of that. See the importance of the message that a preacher brings. See it just now in Galatians 1. Paul, speaking in very strong language, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Strong language. and it's God's language. God directed Paul as he was writing that epistle, that letter, to the church in, or churches in Galatia. We don't want to be under God's curse, do we? So, we should believe what God is saying in Scripture. That's the thing. What is God saying? That's to be a light for our path through this world. As we make our journey through this world, till we are taken away by death, we need to use the Bible as a light from God, so that we would understand how we should go and what we should do. Yes. And when Ezekiel was setting before the Jews their sin, he lists quite a number of sins, and then he ends with this. And I think the way it is expressed, it is indicating the particular seriousness of this sin. And they have forgotten me. Perhaps you can say it sums up everything else. But when people forget God, may not be absolutely, but if that is an expression that sums up the practice of people, as is sadly true of so many in the country generally, and in this city in particular, do they think about God? Again and again through the day? Or do they just ignore? And perhaps that's most of what is being meant there. Ignoring God. How do we live out our days? How do we spend each day? Is it with a consciousness that God is present wherever we are, that God sees us, that there's nothing we do but that God sees it? Or do we just forget? Do we just ignore? Well, that was part of Ezekiel's message, what God gave. And it's there, so that we would listen to it. That's the thing. We have that message, and we should reflect on our days. Are we living then in forgetfulness of God? Or are we asking him to draw us to himself, to keep us in a sense of his presence everywhere, and in a sense of his presence wherever we in particular are? Yes. And notice this in what Ezekiel was commanded to say. Therefore will I judge you because of your sin. That was what was addressed to the Jews, to the people of Israel. Therefore will I judge you, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. It's God that is speaking, and God is speaking to us. These are not messages only for days long, long ago. They were first given long, long ago. but they came from God, and they're of abiding relevance. Yes, they're still relevant. Perhaps every other book, every other piece of writing from as long ago as that, we would say, that's got no relevance for today. That's what we must not say and think about the Bible. It is entirely relevant. When God has given it, of course there were men like Ezekiel that wrote down the individual books, but the ideas came from God. As they wrote, they were being led along by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible was given without error. And it is that same Bible that is translated into our language. And it is all the authority that it ever had. But God is saying, I will judge you. That is, of course, in particular, the judgment at the end of the world. But I think we should recognize too that as each soul passes into eternity, God is judging that person and according to how they have lived. And according to this, whether they have sought forgiveness and reconciliation through Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners. That is central to the whole message of the Bible, that there is a way back to God. However rebellious we might be, however stiff-necked and so on, still, God is able to change us. And you can go to chapter 36 in Ezekiel, and you can learn a great deal about the work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of sinners. And that's what we should be seeking as we listen to what Ezekiel has to say, and the assurance that God gave in chapter 18. I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. What he encourages us to do is to seek salvation, to turn from our own ways to serve. Yes. It's a message of kindness. And even his warnings are given to us in kindness. But let us go on to say something about the Jews' reaction. They were, most of them, impudent or shameless in their sinning. Notwithstanding all the messages of all the prophets that came to them, they had no shame in going on in their sin. They were determined to go on in their rebellious resistance to the messages that were coming to them from God. You see, the question we have in Jeremiah 6, round about the same time in history, in biblical history, the question is asked first, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination, serious, obnoxious sin? Were they ashamed of it? No, they were not. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down. That's what was to follow. They were to be defeated by invading armies. They were to be carried away to captivity. Why? God was judging them. God was condemning them. And so there would be punishment. And yet, you might think of Manasseh, the king of Judah, and he was an absolutely wicked man. I don't need to go into his sins just now, but the point I want to stress is Manasseh, in captivity, in prison, the Lord met with him. The Lord rescued him. Yes, he brought him back to Jerusalem. But the more important thing is the Lord saved his soul. The Lord showed him mercy. The Lord brought him to pray. And the Lord answered his prayer. Yes. And if things go wrong with us, we may well ask, is God speaking to us? Has God got a controversy with us? And we should pray. We should seek the Lord, even though we might already have found him. We may seek his forgiveness again and again and again. For we need to be forgiven again and again and again. We need to be forgiven continuously. But you see, the point just now is not to take away from the points I've been making, but as far as the structure of what I'm trying to say is concerned, the reaction of the Jews and the Israelites to what God was saying was rebellion, rejection of what God was saying. Yes. And the Lord says this. It's in chapter 3 at verse 4, when Ezekiel is sent to the house of Israel. But he says, thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to his own people. He didn't need to learn a foreign language to present his message. Not to many people of a strange speech and of an hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened to thee. They would have listened. They would have obeyed. They wouldn't have acted in rebellion. And you see, that's the danger. When people have been long hearing the word of God, familiar with the Bible, they don't really listen to it. This is the danger of going on in rebellion and being at last swept away into a lost eternity. You see, we need to know that we are sinners, and we need to know that God is ready to listen to sinners asking the way back. Don't say, I've gone on too long. I've become too rebellious. No, come now. Come, the Lord is saying. Come and speak to me. Come and reason together with me. He is ready to save. He is ready to save completely. However long we have gone on in rebellion, However hardened against the gospel we have become, seek the Lord as one who is able to soften our hearts, to make us willing to receive the blessings of the gospel. Yes, but that was the Jews' reaction. They were a rebellious nation. They were setting their hearts in rebellion against their God. But there are others, and it's worth making the contrast. If you read Psalm 85, you find the psalmist saying, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. I will listen to it. That was true. That was the truth he was saying. Because God had saved him. God had taken away his rebellion. God had made his heart soft. Instead of being rebellion, instead of going on rebelling, he was ready to listen. He was ready to receive what God was saying. And we should be asking the Lord to so to work in our souls that we would have that reaction. I will listen to what God, the Lord, the great God of heaven and earth, to what he is saying. Yes. And we should ask ourselves, how do we react to the word of God? Even when it is difficult, or difficult to receive because it condemns us. We don't like to be condemned. But are we ready to listen? See what Moses said. Happy or blessed art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? Now it has an application. First of all, to Israel being brought out of Egypt, being set free. But it's all a picture of God delivering sinners from their own ways. It's all a picture. Who here are being declared blessed? Not under the curse, but blessed. They are those who have been brought out of Satan's kingdom into the marvelous light of the kingdom of God. Yes. Who have submitted to what God has been saying about sin and about salvation. That's a good place to be. It's a wonderful place to be. And we should be seeking it. And we should be thankful if we have been brought into that position. Yes. But there will come a time, as it is put in Revelation 22, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. The time for turning is over when we pass into eternity. But he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. Yes. The end of our lives is the end of all possibility of changing from one kingdom to another. But if we are in Christ's kingdom, we will never be put out of it. Those who are in Christ's kingdom in this world will be in it forever. And then thirdly, they shall know that a prophet has been among them. Their conscience will tell them that. That they've heard the word of God. Our conscience. If we pass into eternity without having submitted to the word of God, without listening to God speaking through the Bible, we will realize our consciences will tell us that we have the opportunity, and foolishly we neglected it. Yes, we had the opportunity. The gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ, who died for sinners and rose again, it was set before us. Yes. Contrast that with John, Jesus' disciple. And he sums up, as it were, his association with Jesus in this world. The Word was made flesh. That's Christ who speaks to sinners, Jesus Christ. He says often, does John, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That is the one that is being set before us in the Scriptures. That is the one who has been set before us in proper preaching as a Savior. And see how John sums up at the end of his Gospel. I was first of all quoting from the first chapter in his Gospel. And see how John sums up what he had written. He says a whole lot more could have been written, but enough was written. Absolutely. These things were written, he says, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. These are written. These things are written. That ye might believe in Jesus Christ, who is, first of all, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one who was promised in the Old Testament, and in the fullness of time was born of a woman, that he might redeem those that were under the law, that he might set them free from the guilt of breaking that law. See, that's still the gospel. That's still what we are led to listen to and take in and receive, that Jesus is the Christ. He is the one that was to be sent as a Savior. And he is the Son of God. Not just a man. He was a man. He had to be a man. He had to take human nature so that he might suffer, so that he might die. But you see, it's not to be, as Ezekiel says somewhere, listening to the voice of him that hath a very lovely voice and can play well in an instrument, something that would interest us, attract us. You see, you could go away and say that one was a tremendous speaker. He had a knack of putting things in such a wonderful way. That's not it. It's the content of what is said, however poorly expressed, however much better the sermon might have been. But it's the truth that's in it. That's the point. It's our reaction to what was there. Yes. A reaction to this, that there's salvation for sinners, and that we are to receive Christ, as the Saviour. That's what John had in mind in writing the Gospel. Yes, and Matthew and Mark and Luke likewise. And every part of the Gospel, whatever else is said, whatever other instruction there is, there's this: Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and we're sinners. And we're to be praying. We're to be calling upon the Lord. We're to be praying. And there's any number of prayers we can take up. For instance, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm a sinner. I don't deserve anything good. So I'm asking for mercy. That's what the man at the temple was doing. He was asking for mercy. Not like the Pharisee who was trumpeting his good points. And he was depending on that. The good things he had done. The other man has nothing good to say about himself. The significant idea in his mind was, I'm a sinner. But sinners can come before God for the sake of Jesus Christ. Sinners can come before God through Jesus Christ, who died in the place of sinners, who kept the law in the place of sinners. It's a complete salvation. Yes. And you see, where two or three are gathered together in the name of Christ, it's a good place to be. Though we have to consider, I mustn't be a rebel. I mustn't be refusing. I mustn't be stiffening myself up in resistance against what is being said. Yes, I must receive it, however painful it may be for myself to hear that I'm a sinner, to have it emphasized that I'm a sinner. Yes, but you see, we have heard that, and we have heard salvation. We have heard it from the Word of God. We heard it being emphasized. Yes. And we are to remember that there's a particular possibility of blessing when we come together to hear the Word of God. We should be expecting that Christ will be there. And we should be asking that Christ would come and speak to us, not a new message from heaven, but that he would speak to us by causing the truth of the Bible to be applied to our souls. Now, whether we hear or whether we forbear, in the words of the text, whether we listen, whether we receive it or refuse it, harden ourselves against it, stiffen up ourselves against it, whatever it is, we will know that God was speaking, and God was speaking to us. Yes. Perhaps it will be the severest aspect of the punishment of those who, having refused God's word, having rebelled against it, but go down to a lost eternity. It may be the sorest part of their punishment to have heard the word of God and not made any use of it. And it is now too late. And why do I say that? So that you would seek the Lord now. So that you would look away. Let me put it like that. Look away from all the distractions that there are in this life. Things that you think are more entertaining, more pleasant, more to be desired than burying your head in a book from all these thousands of years ago. That's a completely wrong attitude. God has given us the Bible. He's given a revelation of himself and of our present condition and of the way of salvation. He has done that in his kindness. Let us not despise his kindness. Let us seek to submit to what the Lord is saying to us. And he says this also, to come to him in prayer, as you have it at the end of Hebrews 4, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Let us not stay away. Let us come to bow down in prayer before the Lord Jesus Christ on his throne. A throne of grace, a throne of kindness. And let us plead that we would make a good use of the Bible, that we would listen to it, that we would understand at least the main points of it. These points about sin and salvation. Yes. Let us seek to make use of it all. But particularly these great matters about sin and salvation. Let us pay attention to, let us listen to, in particular, some of the great calls that Christ makes to sinners. This just now. Look unto me. Look to me by faith. Believe in me, in other words. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. Impress thy truth upon our souls. Take each of us under thine own loving care. Open our ears, the ears of our souls, so that we might hear Christ. May the word come to our souls with power. Do not leave us to ourselves, but give us grace. Turn thou us unto thee, and we shall be turned. May we be in earnest praying to thee, for we need thee. We need thy salvation. We need to be delivered from Satan's kingdom. Set us free if we are still in it. Give us thy blessing. May we not forget thy word. May we know the danger of going on in hardness of heart, in rebellion against thee. Grant that the whole earth would be filled with thy glory. Bless thy word. Bless us in meeting again this evening. Keep us, care for us, and do us good. For Jesus' sake, amen.